Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
22, and it came to pass, when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan to Joshua pitch in Gilgal, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, what mean these stones? You shall let your children know. You shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. I want to preach on the subject today, my memory fuels my vision. My memory fuels my vision. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've got a vision and my memory fuels it. You may be seated. How many of you love children? Be honest. You love children? How many of you are annoyed by children under the age of 10? Raise your hand. Have you ever been around a kid that asks you if you remember? But it sounds a little something like this. You remember? Remember? And it could be something that happened like 16 minutes ago. Yeah, I do remember. That was like in the backyard literally 15 minutes ago. And you remember? And they're so excited about it that they want to keep talking about what God has done. Years ago, Mandy walked through our living room, and I was in the back room, and I was watching some videos of myself playing basketball back in 1996, 97, 98, and 99. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm watching my high school games. I said, you should sit down and watch with me. She said, you need to turn that off. Those days are behind you. I finished watching that one, and I haven't watched them since. Not because I don't want to, but because they're on VHS tapes and I don't have a VCR anymore. But maybe I'll go buy one today and we can spend Memorial Day. That's what we'll spend Memorial Day doing. But it's amazing to me how good the past seems, right? We always look back at the good old days. And we say things, and I know that I'm getting old because I say things like, I remember when gas was such and such. I remember when you could buy a soda for this. And my kids asked me the other day, when I was little, could you buy a soda for a nickel? And I'm like, how old do you think I am? A nickel? But it's called nostalgia, right? And if we're honest with ourselves, nostalgia is a dangerous thing. Because nostalgia says that our past, in some points, was better than where we are today. Or that what happened yesteryear or yesterdecade is greater than where God is taking us. The devil loves to use nostalgia to rob us of what God is doing in the present and to rob us of faith that God has for us in our future. When we talk about Memorial Day, we're talking about remembering what has happened before us so that we do not forget. History is said to repeat itself. The reason history repeats itself is because through generations and by process of time, we forget where we've been or we forget what has happened. And a lot of times we repeat the same mistakes over and over again. But the saying is not bad history repeats itself or good history, just that history. And so if you continuously do not remember what you've been brought out of and what you've been brought through, you will repeat the same mistakes. You'll find yourself fighting the same Goliaths. And let me encourage you, church, you're always going to have a fight in front of you. You're always going to have a great call in front of you. But what I fight today is different than what I fought yesterday. What I stand against today is something different than I stood against yesterday. It's why David would go and take Goliath's sword and cut his head off, because he said, now that this giant has fallen, I'm going to make sure that he never stands again. Can I encourage you today that there's some things that God wants to do in your 2019, that God wants to bring some finality and God wants to bring a conclusion to some of the seasons and valleys that we're in. And when God brings you through them, do not forget what God has done in your life, because you don't want to have to repeat the same test, the same grade, fight the same giant over and over. I want to fight bigger giants because there's bigger destiny on the other side. I want to go through bigger obstacles because I know that God's got something greater on the other side. But when we do not remember, when we do not appreciate where we've come from and what God has done, we are deemed to repeat history yet again. And so it is our memory, it is what we remember that sets us up for what is in front of us. When we talk about nostalgia, it is a wistful desire to return in thought or in fact to a former time in one's life, to a former home, to one's family, to one's friends. It's a sentimental yearning for the happiness of a former place of time. Can I encourage you with this? Sentimental saints are dangerous because they're always talking about how it used to be. They're always talking about, well, when I was growing up, we did it this way. And all the old church had a lot more power in it. And all those old songs, and listen, I appreciate the hymns. And if you come to Living Way long enough, you're going to hear the hymns. You're going to hear some Ty Tribbett. You're going to hear some Planet Shaker, some Hillsong, some Jesus Culture. You're going to hear all of those together, because we've taken the good out of the past and we brought it into the present. But we have walked away from the things that the devil has used to keep us standing where we are today. I am here to let you know that the past was not near as good as you remember it being. That is a lie from the pit of hell. I've got great news. If you are breathing today, God's got a better tomorrow for you than your yesterday. If you're still alive in May of 2019, there is a great June ahead of you. If your end was worse than the beginning, you'd already be walking on streets of gold. But the fact that Jesus still has you on this rock called earth means that I'm not through with you yet. There is greater in front of you. There is purpose in front of you. There is calling and destiny in front of you. But you have to remember the great things and forget the bad things. When you look at somebody's highlight reel on Facebook, it doesn't mean their life is perfect. They just choose bits and pieces for you to see. But we all have those things in our past that we're trying to walk away from. That I'm glad that I've got one day more every time I go to sleep between me and my past, because my past is my past. And I'm not going to drag my past into my present, because if I drag my past into my present becomes my past and my future becomes my present, which means I'm behind the timeline of God. Manny and I bought our first house in 2013. We made a mistake. We moved all of our old furniture into a new house. We didn't realize how old it was until we moved it into a new house. And we literally moved it in. And I remember that first day just standing there looking at things saying, that don't look good in here. Did it look good in the old? It looked good in the old house, because the old house was built in 1970, not 2012. And so I found myself uncomfortable saying, I should be enjoying the new space that I'm living in, but I don't find myself enjoying it because I brought things from my past that really don't belong in my present. And by doing so, I'm really tricking and deceiving myself, because I'm in a new place, but it still feels old. I'm talking to somebody today.
I know it's not January 1st. I know we're not talking New Year's resolutions. I know we're not talking about a new season and all of these great things that happen at the first month of the year when every pastor's talking about the old is gone. But I want to tell somebody that 6 months into this new year and you're saying it doesn't really feel new to me, or maybe I'm at a new job and it really doesn't feel new to me. Could it be as you've tried to drag some things from your past and you haven't let your past be your past? You haven't taken the good out of your past, but you've let all of your past come with you. There's some people in your past that need to stay in your past. There are some things in your past that need to stay in your past. You can't bring everybody into your new season. You can't bring everything into your new season. Otherwise, you are replicating and duplicating what you prayed to God to bring you out of. And then you wonder why I'm in a new place, but it feels old. So it wasn't 24 hours. We drug every piece of old furniture out of that house. I know you guys are going through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, but I maxed out my credit card buying all new furniture. I paid it off in about 18 months, but I maxed out every credit card I had because I wanted my new place to feel new. And the way that my new place feels new is what my brother preached many years ago. You didn't know my brother was a preacher, but I still remember what he preached the last time he preached: God's selective amnesia. Isn't it awesome that God chooses what he wants to forget and what he wants to remember? And see, as a believer, if you're going to be what God has called you to be, you are going to have selective amnesia. You are going to have to realize and learn how to forget what needs to be forgotten and how to retain what needs to be remembered. Oh, I remember God doing that. Do you remember when you fell flat? I don't remember that. I'm sorry. That's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you made that mistake? Somehow, I don't remember the mistake. I just remember the lesson that I learned from that time in my life. I am here to tell you, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you your best days are behind you and that your past was awesome, because at the end of the day, none of us were as good as sports figures as we thought we were in high school. None of us were as popular as we thought we were in high school. And none of us were as good looking as we thought we were in high school. But in our mind's eye, we're like Al Bundy throwing 4 touchdowns for Polk High. For those of you that are Married with Children fans, and if you are a Married with Children fan, I will meet you right here so we can all ask for forgiveness. The problem with always talking about the past is for you to always talk about the past, it means you have nothing going on in the present. And to always talk about the past means that you are making no preparation for the future. And when I get around my friends from high school, we talk about what's happening now for about 60 seconds. And then we start talking about our glory days. And enough time has passed where we can add stats. We can add bits of information to those things and hope that nobody calls us out. Or hope that everybody just overlooks those things because they're doing the same thing and they're adding some half-truths to their history. My history with God is an amazing history. When I look back, I see God's hand of providence, protection, healing, salvation in my life many, many times. But one thing I do is I rest in God's hand today. I thank him for what he's done in my yesterday, but I am so focused on the future of what God has in front of me. It's not about the good old days. It's about the better new days. You can sit on the porch of your life and rock in a chair and just talk about how it used to be, or you can say, God, if you woke me up this morning, there's something for me today, and there's something for me tomorrow, and I want to make sure that I look more like you, talk more like you, walk more like you, so that I can hit the target you placed in front of me. This is what I want to encourage you in the last few moments of what I'm sharing this morning. The track record of God, and I've preached about this many times. For those of us that have walked with God for many years, we know what God will do because we remember what he has done. What God has done in my life sets my faith in motion for what God is going to do, what he's doing right now.
And this is what I love about God, and this is something that Bishop has preached on and taught on, and it has become a part of my personal culture, my family's culture, is that God is not anticlimactic. What he has done before, he will not duplicate it, because God is a God of doing a new thing. God is a God of bringing the former rain and the latter rain together, as Joel chapter 2 says, to bring a deluge of rain and an overflow and an excess and abundance of rain. And so God is not wanting to redo what he did in 1987. God said, what I did in 1987 is the bare minimum. I have to add to that in 2019. And so when I look at what God has done, it gives me a marker for what God is about to do in my life. But I know he's not going to repeat. I know it's not a rerun. I know there's at least going to be a little something extra the next time he speaks in my life, or the next time he moves in my life. And that's why my memory becomes fuel for my vision. When I think about all that the Lord has done for my family in my life, I just start praising God. Big old tears start running down my face. When I think about while I stood over there and watched our Memorial Day tribute video, my eyes welled up with tears, because I remember, listen, I don't know their names of the 1,200,000, but I know the sacrifice, and I remember their sacrifice. And because they sacrificed in the 1800s and they sacrificed in the first two world wars, I stand here on the brink of the greatest future that I've ever stood before in my life, all because I remember that somebody before me came and did something to set me up for success. Bishop Fender, Pastor Becky have worked hard the last 44 years to build this church. Dad has said, and I hardly ever call him Dad while I'm up here because he is my pastor, my bishop. But Dad has often said, many times jokingly, probably a little serious, he said, I don't want to be me, I want to be the guy that follows me. Meaning that all the hard work that I put in, I want to be the guy that inherits it and gets to go further. And then he tells me, he said, I'm going to live long enough. He said, let's just skip you and give it to Tyler. And I'm like, hold on now. And then some days I'm looking for Tyler saying, Tyler, come on, let's go ahead and install you. But it's amazing to me when I look at my family and I look at my track record with God that I ever get, it's amazing to me that I ever have a moment of doubt, that I ever have a moment of fear. And I would be lying to you today if there wasn't times when doubt and fear tried to creep in my mind. But my mind has no room for doubt and fear very long, because I start remembering what God has done in my life. And when I know what he's done, it means I know what he's going to do. Here's one that I've never said before. God gave me this week. I know what God will say because of what he has already said. This comes into play when you pray, because God's audible voice is never going to contradict his written word. And so when I go before the Lord in prayer for direction for my future, my family's future, my next step, should I turn right, should I turn left, should I stop, should I proceed, I know what God is going to say because I know what God has said. I've spent time in the book. I've studied the word of God. It is my foundation. And this is what the Bible says in Matthew 7. Jesus said, for those that do these sayings of mine, he said, it's like they build their house on a firm foundation. And the firm foundation of your past can only be built through the word of God, and built on what God has said and what God has done. I believe that's why new believers have such a hard time, because we put such onus on God giving us bigger cars, bigger houses, bigger bank accounts, when we should be relaying the information to them that God can do all of those things in your life, but the biggest miracle is that he shed his perfect blood so that you could be saved. That is the biggest miracle. That is the greatest foundation he can ever, and that's what you pull from. And I found myself in the last few weeks, as I was praying for my mother and as I was praying for my brother, Jesus, if you save them, you can heal them. God, if you created them, you can heal them. I know cancer's big.
big. I know cancer's bad. I know all the reports that the doctors have given. But God, I do know that cancer is small change, small fries in comparison to you bringing some dust together and creating a body and breathing into that body and bringing life. I know, God. The fact that you saved me is so much bigger than money problems, than emotional issues, than family problems. If you save me, you can restore family. And so I start pulling from my foundation of faith. So because I know what God has said, what God has done, I know what he will say, what he will do. We're talking about the track record of God. I preached this before one time at Living Way, but let me remind for all of our new guests, and I know Gabriel's new, so this will be something for him to preach at Golden State Church. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. No, just kidding. Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. No relationship with him, but he had heard about him. He shows up, but he can't see Jesus, or rather, Jesus can't see him physically, he thinks. I love Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus runs ahead because he knows where God is going. See, some of us know where God has been. Some of us know where God is now. But it takes a lot of faith to say, I know where God is going to be. And I'm going to meet God at that place. And so how does he know that not having relationship, not being a believer, because he caught the face of Jesus. He saw that his face was set like a flint. And he saw him walking north on Main Street. And so Zacchaeus said, I know there's a tree on the end of Main Street. And so I'm going to get to the tree. And I love preaching this part of it, that God knew Zacchaeus was going to need a savior. God knew that Zacchaeus was going to need a life-changing and transforming moment with Jesus. So 50 years before Zacchaeus was born, God said, Michael, Gabriel, I need a tree on the end of Main Street to start growing, because there's going to be a little man named Zacchaeus that's about to be born in 20 years. And in another 30 years, he's going to need my son Jesus to intersect his path. So I need you to go ahead and start working on the tree that he's going to find and climb, that Jesus is going to see him in, and Jesus is going to go home with him and enter his life, all because Jesus knew where Zacchaeus was going to be, where Jesus was going to be, where a tree was needed. And Zacchaeus knew too. I know where Jesus has been. I know where Jesus is now. But most importantly, I know where Jesus is going. And I'm going to put myself smack dab in the middle of Jesus' path so that he has to talk to me, so that he looks up and I catch his eye and he catches mine. And I know that when I have my audience with Jesus, that Jesus is going to call me out of the tree. And then not only is Jesus going to speak a word of life, he's going to say, Zacchaeus, how about I come home with you today and we break bread and have dinner? I've got some things that I want to talk to you about. I've got some things that I want to pour into you and impart into you. And all of that happened because Zacchaeus knew where he was, knew where he is, but he knew where he was going. Can I encourage you, church, that there is a God that is on the move, and you don't need to be out of step. You don't need to misstep. You just need to look back and remember what he's done. You need to look and recognize what God is doing at Living Way in your life and in the universal church in the world. And you will know from those two things where God is going in the direction. That's why it's so important that we be filled with the Holy Ghost, because when I'm having a bad flesh day, the Holy Ghost will kick in and say, hey, Brandon, you need to get it together, because Jesus is about to show up here. And if you can get there, you're going to receive your miracle, your breakthrough, your blessing. But you've got to know where he's been, where he is, to see where he's going. Praise team, come. Back to the original text. Didn't have time to get back to it. God says to Joshua, this is an important turning point in Joshua's leadership, because somewhere right smack dab in the middle of chapter 4, the Bible says that the nation of Israel looked to Joshua like they looked at Moses, first time it had happened. That they knew that the same God that had led Moses now led Joshua. They're leaving a place
of wilderness. They're leaving a place of the circle cycle. They're leaving a place where they'd been wandering around for 40 years waiting on things to happen, waiting on people to die, waiting on the old people that are stuck in the old way and have the Egypt mentality. And you know that you can take them out of Egypt, but sometimes you can't take Egypt out of them. They're circling, they're cycling over and over and over, going around and around, 40 years for a trip that should have taken between 5 and 7 days. And God says, get ready, find 12 men, get them stones from the middle of the Jordan River. And when you get to Gilgal, when you get to the other side, bring those elders together, get the stones that were on their shoulders. We're talking about big stones. We're talking about big rocks, boulders. He said, I want you to build a memorial, Memorial Day. I want you to build a memorial so that you remember. But most importantly, I want you to build a memorial, and this is where it's at, church, so that the conversation is started for generations about what kind of God I am. That when you pass by here with your kids to go fishing in the Jordan River, they're going to stop and say, Dad, what are those stones stacked up for? That your children's children's children are going to ask your grandchildren, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, what's up with that stone monument that's on the edge of the Jordan in Gilgal? What's that about? And when they ask you, tell them, that represents when God brought us out of bondage, that he brought us out of slavery, that he brought us out of wilderness, that he brought us through the Red Sea on dry ground to deliver us out, but he brought us through a dry ground through the Jordan River during flood stage to bring us in. Can I encourage you, and nobody preaches it, we talk about the Red Sea, that is a delivering move of God to bring them out of Egypt and slavery, but I'm going to tell you, the Jordan River was just as powerful, because it wasn't about breaking them out of anything, it was about breaking them into something. He said, you make sure that your children remember. Stand on your feet. Pastor Manny, if you'll come. Jade, if you'll come. Tyler's playing. I'll let him hold his guitar. My family, we've been through some stuff in our life. I smile about it now because I'm through it. Because I know I got 20/20 vision, hindsight. I know how it all ended up. But before Jaden was born, Manny and I had obstacles. For those of you who don't know, Manny was born crippled. They say she'd never walk. She walks fine now. When I say fine, I'm talking about fine. But she's got a praying mama, a praying dad, and so they pulled from their past experiences. 2001, I was kicked in the face by a horse, 39 stitches in my face. Can't even tell this good-looking face, huh? Had a good doctor sew me up. Sat in the emergency room for 8 hours before they ever saw me. Just big old ice pack and towel. They would bring me fresh towels to get the blood, but they didn't see me for 8. And I remember just sitting there. I remember first lying out in the bar saying, this is it. But then God said, no, this isn't it. This is a testimony. I brought you too far to let you die in the barn. Come on, boy. 5 years later, kicked in the chest, mule kick, broke 6 ribs, stood there not being able to breathe. Said, this is it. God said, this ain't it. You're kicked in the face. This is the chest. You'll be fine. It's my memorial. 6 years ago, Bishop left for dead. An hour out of San Antonio, stood right here in this building and walked in prayer as they airlifted him to SAMC. And I said, God, you didn't bring him this far to let him die that way. God, the same way that you healed me, you'll heal him. The same way that you healed Mom, you'll heal him. That's why when the cancer word comes up at our house, we gather our faith, we dig in, and we say, God, you brought us this far. You've already healed us 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. This is not how it's going to end. Jaden's born. She can't talk for almost 4 years. She just babbled. She wasn't speaking in tongues. She just couldn't talk. I remember Mandy telling me, God healed me when I was a crippled little girl. God's going to heal Jaden. Now we can't get her to shut up. Sings on the praise team. Came third and stayed in storytelling. Testimony we've never shared with Tyler. Tyler, when he was about 4 years old, we took a picture of Tyler, and he had a weird glare in one of his eyes, and we showed the doctor, and the doctor said, "That's cancer. There's a tumor in his eye." We said, "God, you're not going to do that, because you've healed Mandy. You've healed me. You've healed Mom. You've healed Dad. I remember what you've done. I'm standing at the memorial of what you've done. And because I know what you've done, I know what you're going to do." I didn't cry a tear. I thanked the doctor for their report. And then we went into praying. We went into remembering mode of what God had done in our lives. He got his little glasses at like 4 years old. He looked like a little accountant, a little CPA. A man by the name of Jonathan Super came by on a Saturday night to GX, what is now Catalyst. Healing service broke out with our young people. Super, you can believe this if you want to. Super blew in his face. The next month, he was tested at school. 20/20 vision, which he still has today. He has not worn glasses since. I'm telling you all of these things because it's what I draw from. My memory fuels my vision. My memory fuels my vision. We got another memory. We got another memorial in Pastor Becky that we just built this week to draw from for the rest of our lives as a church, as a family. My brother's working on his testimony. Got a great report this week. That's a memorial we're building. We're stacking stones. We're stacking boulders. I want to encourage and open this altar right now for somebody that's in this house today that you need a miracle from God. I need you to join me in this altar. And it's time that we remember what God has done. That God did not bring you this far, sister, to let you die here. God did not bring you this far, brother, to let you die.